I can just pretend.
So if we have Daf Dalet Amid Beis, I'm sorry, Daf Hey Amid Beis, it's always helpful to see the Gemara, at least that part of the Gemara that we want to discuss inside. And we're going to have here a discussion about what's called Pikdonos. Pikdonos min anochri. So if you count down from the top of Daf Hey Amid Beis, approximately five lines, it says the following. Tana Rabbanan, Shivas Yomim Si'or Lo Yimotziv Vateichem Ma Talmud Lomar V'alo Kvar Nemar Lo Yiro Lecha So'or V'lo Yiro Lecha Chomitz B'chol Gvulecha. So what does Lo Yimotze add to Lo Yiro? And the answer is Lefishnem Lo Yiro Lecha Si'or Shalcha I'atoroa Avlatoroa Shalachirim V'shal Govoa. Now the question is, are we deriving both Shalachirim Shal Gavoa from the same word Lecha? And that's going to be a problem, because elsewhere with regard to Chala, we need two psukim, one to exclude Shalachirim and another to exclude Shal Gavoa. Here you get the impression that one pasuk is enough. We're going to have a long discussion about that. But now the question is there a case where it's not Lecha, and therefore it would not be included under Lo Yiro Lecha, but yet it's also under Lo Yimotze? And that's going to be the case of Yochel, I might think, Yatmin. Okay, so Yatmin we discussed at great length yesterday, that's not for us today, meaning that if the Torah says Lo Yiro, it's only something begolui that you could see, and then something that's Bahatmana you'd be allowed. But today we want to focus on the next part. The Akabal Pikdonos Min Anochri. Now again, at this point we don't know exactly what the nature of the Pikadon is. We're going to have three different Shitos. But what we're saying is that since this Chometz is not yours, it would not be included under the Pasuk Lo Yiro Lecha, but it would be included under Lo Yimotze, because here the Torah omits the word Lecha. So again, Lo Yimotze is being mechadish two chidushim, one of which is not relevant to us today, and we discussed yesterday, that's called Hatmana, and that's included under Lo Yimotze. But the second one, that's an extension beyond Lecha, meaning we're dropping the requirement of Lecha by virtue of the fact that the Torah omitted Lecha in the case of Lo Yimotze, and that's coming to include Chametz Shalgoi. But again, not in the case of Chomet Shal Goy, where you have no Shaychus to the Chomet, but it's a Pikadon. And that's going to lead us to the Sugya of Achrayus. Because if you take a look, fast forwarding a little bit to the Gemara here, which is on the first of the wide lines, after the two dots, it says, Omar Mar, Yochel, I might think, Yatmin v'yikal pikdos shal tamin lom lo yimotze, hamet reisha shal choya torah v'latoro shal achim shal gavoa. And the Gemara is looking for some sort of compromise between these polar extremes. On the one hand, the Torah says, if it's not lecha, you're not in violation. On the other hand, the Torah says, in lo yimotze, that yechai for pikdona shal nochrim, even though it's not lecha. So what's down the middle? And that's the case of Kibel Olav Achrayus. Those are the three key words that are going to occupy our minds, certainly today, maybe even tomorrow, I don't know, of Kabbalas Achrayus. So what is the nature of Kabbalas Achrayus? So here we have a three-way machlokus. And basically all three shitos are trying to achieve the same goal. Namely, it's close to Lecha, even though it's not Lecha. And one shita is going to be the shita of Rambam. Blineta will see that inside. And the Rambam says that you are chaya for onsim. In other words, he accepted upon himself a level of responsibility that would include any mishap whatsoever, even if it was beyond his control, which would mean that in the laws of of Nezikin, for example, leaving out Shomrim for a second, we don't find any precedent in Nezikin for being Chayv Ba'onis, meaning even in the case of Adam Mu'ud Li'olam, we have the exception of Onis. Again, that's Machlokas Tos in the Ramban, exactly what kind of Onis, but if it's a very extreme kind of Onis, like the Yerushalmi says you went to sleep and somebody brought Kalim and you rolled over in your sleep, so you're potter for Nezikin. However, within the context of Shmira, within the context of what we call Achrayus, there is such a thing as a Chi of Onsim, and that's called Shoel. And according to the Rambam, when the Gemara establishes that Kibul of Achrayus is enough to be Mechayev him for the Chometz and Bal Yiro Bayimotze, technically it's only Bal Yimotze, but then we have the Gzer Shavu, so therefore we include Lo Yiro as well. It's talking about a case where he was Mekabel Achrayus straight across the board, the all-inclusive Achrayus. He's Chayev even for Onsim. Then we move down one level and we get to the sheet of the Rush, and the Rush is going to say that even if he doesn't have a Achrayus for Onsim, it'll be Potter for Onsim. If he has a level of Achrayus where he's Chayev for what's called Gneva Vaveda, that means he has the same status as the Shomer Socher, that's enough to establish his Chiyuv of Chometz under the Ribui of Pikdono Shel Nochri of Kabbalas Achrayus. That's the second Shita. Now that Shita is quoted in the Rush in the name of the Ri, and finally we have the third Shita, which the Rush quotes in the name of the Bahag, that even if he has the barest minimal level of Achrayus, which means he's Chayev only for Pshia, then he's like that of a Shomer Chinam, and he violates Bal Yirah Bayimotze. Now all these three shitas, just on a technical level, have to fit into the Gemara itself, because the Gemara tells a story. And that you'll see 5 lines up from the bottom of the daf. The Gemara says, Ki hadi amalu Rava l'bnei Mechuza. Rava instructed the Bnei Mechuza. And Rashi tells us a little bit of the background here, that the local governors had military forces, their militia, their plugot, if you want to call them, would sometimes pass through Mechuza. And the law was that when they passed through Mechuza, the local population, including Jews, would have to supply the military, these soldiers, with food. That was their responsibility. And not only would they have to pay for the food, that was a kind of a tax that was imposed upon them, but included in the food was chametz. And therefore Rava was very careful, because if the Bnei Mechuza, the Jewish population, are buying chametz for the sake of feeding the soldiers, then when Pesach comes around, they have a violation of Bal Yiroh Bayimotze. So again, the details of the case are not yet clear. The Gemara is going to try to clarify this. But Rava certainly instructed the Bnei Mechuza, Be'iru, destroy Chamira, the chametz of the Bnei Chela, of the soldiers, Mibataychu, from your homes. Why? So obviously, if you don't destroy the chametz, then you're in violation of Bal Yiroh Bayimotze. Now, the assumption of Rashi is that technically, because these were taxes that had to be paid on behalf of the government, the ownership of this chametz was that of the guy. Again, how that works, we have to see.
Like it was purchased for him, so to speak.
Right, yeah, maybe the taxes already belong to the government, and if they go ahead and buy chametz with that tax money, it's considered the Bnei Chela's tax.
I can buy with my own money for you, right?
Possibly, I don't know. You have to know all the dinim when it comes to a guy, and what can you know? I don't know, we're not going to go into that. But here's a case of Achrayus. And that's what Rava was concerned with, that even though technically the Jewish population of Bnei Mechuza did not own the chametz, but nevertheless they would be in violation of Bal Yiroh Bayimotze because of Achrayus. And the Gemara clarifies, what is the nature of that Achrayus? And this is all part of Rava's mandate to the people. De'ilu mignav, if it were to be stolen, these supplies, the ilu misavid, or they would get lost, birshu saichu koi, meaning that it's considered in your rishus, ubaisa lishlume, and you would have to pay. In other words, you would have to replace this chametz with other chametz. So at the end of the day, you're going to pay out of pocket. If what? If either it gets stolen or gets lost. Right? This is going to support the Rush in the name of the Re, because the Rush quotes the Re as saying that all you need is the Chiyuv Achrayis of Gneiva Veda. You don't need the level of Onsim. So we'll see in a minute who holds that you need a level of Onsim and how they're going to square with this Gemara. And
because the truth is, they'll have
and to therefore, the just 1 second, Sam, I'm sorry, I just want to get the last two words of the Gemara because these are the key two words. Kidilchun Domi. It's like it's yours. So that's why I say, Rabosai, whatever shita we're going to take here in the Rishonim, and there are three different approaches to the sugya, we're going to somehow have to get to this goal of kidilchun dami, and that again is to reconcile the two psukim, that on the one hand the Torah says you're only chayev lo yira lecha chametz, on the other hand the Torah says lo yimotze, even if it's not your chametz. And the middle ground is going to be something that's kidilachun with the chaf hadimyon. It's like it's yours. It's not technically yours, but since you're responsible for it, and if it's lost or stolen, you're going to have to replace it. Therefore, it's like it's yours. You have vested interest, so to speak. And at this point, the Gemara goes into an analysis as to whether or not this concept of kidilachun dami is a universal concept that would apply way beyond the confines of chametz. And then the Gemara, in order to defend that universal approach, is going to invoke the shita of Rav Shimon, a dover agav l'mamon k'mamon dami, which means that if a person is responsible for some object, and if it's lost or stolen, he has to replace it, then it's his, and therefore he can be mekadesh and isha with it. That's called dover agav l'mamon. Or is this a unique halacha in chametz, which means that even if I hold like the chachamim against Rav Shimon, that universally we say dover agav l'mamon lav k'mamon dami, but here that the Torah left out the word lecha in lo yimotze, it's coming to teach me that there's a new concept of kidilachun dami. It's like it's yours as far as Bal Yirah Bal Yimotze is concerned. And that's going to touch on the whole discussion that we had with the Ramban, that basically chametz is not yours, the Torah makes it as if it is yours, and there are new dinim of bailus with regard to Hashem chametz. Now let's open up the Rambam for a minute, just to clarify the Shitas HaRambam. I told you that the Rambam identifies this as Onsim, but I think I made a mistake. That's going to be the Bahag Shita. The Rambam, I think, is like the Shita of the Reed that's quoted by the Rush, that your Achrayas level is that of Geneva of Aveda. So let's open up the Rambam. You'll see it in Perek Dalid. Mehilchas Chametzu Matz Alocha Gimel. And let's see exactly what the Rambam says.
Would you like a Rambam, sir?
Well, there should be another Rambam here, I think. So you can give me either that one or that one, it's ever easier. The only thing is, if you give me that one, you have to make sure you don't knock over. Actually, this is empty.
So I don't knock it over. Yechiel knocks things over.
Oh, I didn't know. I know. Okay, this is.
This I thought we were friends.
Yeah,
that worked.
I'll take the fall for me.
I'm sure you started knocking things over.
Right. See, Yechiel wasn't concerned with spilled milk, so since he had some milk in there, the question is whether that's Lita Basa Chazusa or Basa Taima.
He's like a mazik, that's all he's trying to.
Alright, so what did I say? Perek Dalet?
No, Perek Dalet Allah
Gimel. Oh. Goy Shehifkid Chametz Etzel Yisrael. Oh. Im Kibel Olav Yisrael Achrayus. Shem Avad O Nignav. Oh, so the Rambam is taking the Gemara and copying it lahalacha, that the level of Achrayis here is that of Gneiva Veda, that if in event that it's lost or stolen, he has to pay Yishalom Lo Domov, Hareu Chayav Levaro, Hoil, and now the Rambam beautifully reformulates the Gemara, Hoil Vekibel of Achrayus, Nasa Kishalo. However, if low kibul of achrayis mutul lekaimo etzlo mutul lechol miyon lachar pesach shebershus hagoyu.
Is that shlichus yadim kador?
If what? If he destroys it?
Yeah.
You want to know whether he's going to have to pay or not? I certainly think he's going to have to pay if he destroys it.
Such a thing?
Well, I guess for the sake of non-violation of Bal Yerov Vayimotzei, as long as he replaces it, otherwise he's going to sit in jail for a long time, right? The government is not going to tolerate that. But let's assume that he destroys the chametz and he replaces it. Again, is he allowed to destroy the chametz? Well, the answer is yes, because of the mitzvah of Bir Chametz and the Isur Bal Yerov Vayimotzei. But on the other hand, is he responsible for that chametz? The answer is a clear cut yes. He's going to have to replace that chametz. Now, the Rambam is assuming that he was makabel of achrayis. We're going to soon see that there are other rishonim who say that even if he was a makabel of achrayis, he has achrayis whether he likes it or not.
The Rambam, that he's makabel.
Right. I say the Rambam stipulates that he is makabel of achrayis.
In the Geisim, he was makabel.
Rabbi, if you don't mind taking this Rambam, take a look if you can in the Mefarshim while we're moving on, because I think you'll find a few chidushim here.
And the Geisim, first of all, he doesn't have to makabel anything. They don't ask him. They say you better sit long.
Right, so that itself.
And secondly, Einus also is high for over there. It's not because.
Well, the Rambam says that the reason why he violates Bal Yerov Vayimotzei is because he's high for Gnei Vavedim.
But I'm saying, it could be the Metzias of the
case of Mechuzah, the Bnei Mechuzah, that he'd be high even for Otsim. That's very possible. But that's not relevant to us. What's relevant to us is that the Rambam Shita in Achrayus and the violation by Yerod by Motzei the Chometz like yours is because you chayef for Gneva Aveda. In other words, the Rambam would say that if I accept Achrayus of Gneva Aveda, then I'm chayef for Bal Yerod by Motzei. I don't even have to have Achrayus for Onsim. So the third sheet of Onsim is identified with Tosfos. Now, where is this Tosfos? Unfortunately, to our disappointment, it's not here. It's somewhere in Shas. Actually, it's in two places in Shas. So again, if we have the time, again, I'm not going to do this myself. We're going to open up two Tosfos, and we're going to need a Gemara Bava Metzia, and we're going to need a Gemara Shavuos, and we're going to look up these two Tosfos. So for the time being, that's your job. If you want to take it on yourself, I right now I'm potter from that, so I'm going to assume that's the sheet of Tosfos. So we have three sheetas. We have the Bahag, which is quoted in the Rosh, and the Bahag says that Yechayef Achrayus on Pshia, and therefore even a Shomer Chinam who accepted Achrayus on Chametz violates Bal Yerov Vayimotzei, because the Shomer Chinam is Chayef for what? For Pshia, according to the Ri in the Rosh, and according to Shita Sarama Perik Dalet Aloch Gimel, the Achrayus is that of Gneva Vaveda, and therefore the Gemara is very Meduyak when it says the Ilu Mignav O Misavid Bishu Sachayukoi, but for Pshia you would not be Chay for Bal Yerov Vayimotzei, as opposed to the Shita of the Bahag, which is quoted in the Rosh. Then we have the Shita Tosfos in two places, that only the Achrayus of Onsim is considered Kabbalas Achrayus. Now, Rav Soloveitchik has a Rashi later on Daf Lamed Aleph on Amid Beis, and that's going to be a fascinating Rashi, which we'll have to take under advisement. Okay, I don't know if that's my phone or someone else's phone. Okay, very nice niggin. I commend you on the niggin. So you'll take a look on page Lamed Beis. Into the Hari Kedem, and he'll tell you on the bottom right to look up Rashi on Lamed Aleph on his days. Rashi Dibur Maskel Shomer. Dibur Maskel Konei Mashkin. Sorry. So before we get to that Rashi, I just want to point out for my own self, so I don't lose my trend of thinking, that there's another Rashi that we have to talk about. And that Rashi is in the Sugya of Truma. Just give me one second to find it. Just one second. Where did I see this? Just give me a second. I just got to collect my thoughts. We're talking about... Oh yeah. There's a Rashi on Daf Mem Vav Amin Aleph. So if somebody would be kind enough to make a note, because I'm going to forget this, that there are two Rashis that we want to see. They're not necessarily interdependent, they're not related one to the other, but we want to see both Rashis, because both of them will touch and shed a light on Rashi Shita in Kabbalas Achrayus. So the first Rashi of the two is on Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Beis Dibur Maskil Konei Mashkon. And the second Rashi is on Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph. Ketzad Mafrishim Chala B'yontif. Now on the first Rashi, the Gemara establishes that if, let's say, I borrow money from you, and you, the Malvin, decide that you want to take a mashkon from me to make sure, collateral, that if I default on the loan, you have what you have. And instead of taking a ring or some other object of value, you took chametz. So you, the Malve, are holding on to chametz. And the Gemara establishes that you're going to violate Bal Yeroba Yematzeh based on the principle of Rabbi Yitzchak, Bal Chov Kona Mashkon. And here Rashi says the following. What does it mean, Bal Chov is Kona Mashkon? Now the law is the following. The Lovet does not have to return, does not have to pay up the Chov when he finally gets the funds, unless the Malva returns to him the Mashkon. Calls man that the Malva is holding on to the Mashkon, the Lovet says, goodbye Charlie, I'm not paying you. And that would mean that the Bal Chov is considered the kone of the mashkon, even for onsen. In other words, the lover says, look, if you lose the object, I don't care. If lightning strikes, I'm not going to pay you back. I want my mashkon back. I'm not going to pay you unless you give me the mashkon. So that's the man, the owner, who says Bal Chov kone mashkon, which means that the Bal Chov is going to be responsible, all-inclusive, even for onsen. So Rashi says there that the reason why the Balchov, meaning the Malve, is chayev on Bal Yiro Bayimotzi for this mashkan that's chametz, is because he's chayev ba'onsim. Says Rashi, ki imnenas chayev ba'onsim she'eno olav lo kishomer chinam v'lo kishomer socher shepturim bi'onsim elakulo birshuso ubishmiroso omeid. In other words, according to Rashi, the level of achrayus of shomer chinam or shomer socher would not generate a violation of Bal Yiro Bayimotzeh until we get to the highest level of onsim, and that's going to be true for the case of the Balchov. According to the Ma'ariv, who says Balchov kona mashkon. So we now have again, if you take a look at this last paragraph on the right column on page Lamed Beis, three shitos. Let's just go over it, if you don't mind, one more time. We have the shita of the Bahag, and he holds that lechumra, even if you only have the minimal achrayis of a shomer chinam, namely for pshia, yachayif bal yiro bayimotzeh. Again, we're going to have to understand why the Gemara points out that you're chayev because you'll be chayev for Gneva Vaveda. I mean, the Gemara could have gone a step further and said, even if you're not chayev for Gneva Vaveda, you're chayev for Pshia. Then we have the Ri and the Rambam, both of whom agree that the Chiva Christ for Gneva Vaveda, that's the standard, that's the level of a Christ that would generate Bal Yiro Bayimotzeh. The Rambam adds an explanation. He says, then it's Birshusayu Koi. And then we have the shita of Tosus in two places in Shas, which we want to be medayik also from Rashi, that if you're chayef for onsim, and only if you'll be chayef for onsim, are you at the level of Kabbalah Sachrayas, as the Gemara says that you violate Bal Yiro Bayimotzeh. So on the left column here, on page Lamed Beis, the Rav takes it upon himself to try to explain these three shitas. What is the Yesod HaMachlokas? What three definitions are they operating with? At the end of this discussion, he proves his shita from the Meiri. That's the Hari Kevin. That I can promise you. Okay. So first of all, he starts by explaining the shita of Tosfos, and we medayke from Rashi, that in order to be chayav for Bal Yiro Bayimotzeh, you need the level of achrayus of a shoel who's chayav for onsim. And he says the following. We have a sugya in Bav Metzia that's called Shomin Leganov, the Ein Shomin Leshoel. What does it mean, Ein Shomin Leshoel? It means that, let's say, for example, if the Shoel took an animal, right, and he's in charge of, and he's allowed to use the animal, correct? He can benefit from the animal. Let's say it's an animal that you could ride on, so he rides the animal. And the animal falls into a ditch and dies. But the good news, so to speak, if you want to limit your damages here, is that the carcass of the animal is worth something. Now, normally in Ezekiel, what happens is, let's say, for example, in Shara Mazik, if my shar kills your shar, and let's assume I'm Chayiv Nezek Sholem, if it was a Sharmur, whatever the case may be, then Shamin means we evaluate the carcass. Let's say the live animal is worth 5, the dead animal is worth 1, and the Mazik has to pay the differential. He only has to pay 4. And it's the responsibility of the Nizak to come and haul the animal out of the pit, at the bottom of the pitch of the pit, and he's got to sell the carcass on the open market. So all the hassle is going to fall on the shoulders of the Nizak. However, there's a halacha called Ein Shamin B'Shoel at the end of the first parak above Metziah, which means that the Shoel will have to pay the full 5. And now his responsibility is to haul up the carcass of the animal and sell it on the market so he can cut damages for himself. So he'll cut his losses, and at the end of the day he only lost 4 out of 5, but he has the hassle of selling it on the market. The Yesodos here is that a Shoel, because he has rights to use the animal, he's considered the owner of the animal. Now again, it doesn't mean that the mashil is not the owner of the animal, but what it means is that there's a second bailus that's generated by the achrayus of a shoel, and the reason why he's chayfa owns him is because it's his. What does that mean? We don't find anywhere in the Zikin, again, this is what I'm about to say is a little bit too extreme, because as I mentioned before, other mu'ud li'olam, you have to know the machlokas, the Rambam and the Ramban. I'm sorry, the Ramban and Tosfos. But let's assume, if you don't mind, just to simplify matters, that in the purview, in the whole context of Nezikin, we don't find that a person's chayfa owns him. Nezikin is based on responsibility and liability and some sort of element of negligence. In other words, I could have gone to the end of the world to prevent this nezik from happening. But if even at the end of the world, you know, the Malach HaMavis is going to come and take the animal's life, then I'm not responsible for that. That's called Malach HaMavis, Mali Hocham, Mali Hosam. So therefore, in Ezekiel, there's always going to be a p'tur of onus. Now we're stuck with Shoel. Why is a Shoel Chayfa Onsen? You know, the animal dropped dead because it was time to go. Everybody has their time to go, including animals. So So why is he chayfa onsen?
The shoel is potter.
He's only potter mesa machmas malach. But I'm not talking about mesa machmas malach. The Malach HaMavis said, you know, this is like a Chadyadya story, that it's time to take the life of the shoel. And yet, the shoel is chayfa. Says Rav Salvechik, that can only be explained under a new kind of law. A new category, a new essential quality, and that's called bailus. The Torah says if you have the right to use something and benefit from it, then you're considered like the bailim. In the case of a bailim, if I lose something because the Malmovis came to take the animal and haul it up to heaven, to animal heaven, then I took the loss. You know, that's not a matter of responsibility, liability, or any element of Shia. It doesn't matter. It's my animal, and Nebuch the animal is gone. If the animal is gone, I don't have it. You know, go have a tiny to the Malach HaMavis. Sue the Malach HaMavis in a court. In the case of a Shoel, the Torah grants bailus to the Shoel. And Rav Salvechik would prove this from the fact that Ein Shamin L'Shoel. In other words, if I'm chayv in damages, then I only damaged your shor 4 out of 5. The carcass is still worth 1. Why does the Shoel have to take the entire loss, and then he has the headache of selling the carcass? The answer is because he became the bailim over the shor. So let's look at the Rav's language inside. Again, I'm not saying it's the Rav's language, but the way it's quoted in his name, he's saying that according to the Shitas of Tosfos, and we want to add Rashi to the list, in all the cases of Shomrim fall under the laws of Nezikin. And that's the din of Achrayis Nezikin. If it's the din of Achrayis Nezikin, that doesn't give you bailus. That means that you're a mazik. If you're a mazik, you have no bailus. If I, for example, destroy your animal, then I'm not the bailum of the animal. I'm chayav under the law of Nezikin. But in the case of Shoel, Hachefetz Hashol Hu Bershuso Vishelo, again, to some extent it's considered his. It reminds me very much of a gazlan, right? The Torah says that a gazlan has to return something, but in the meantime, there are kinyan gzela. And therefore it makes sense that a gazlan would likewise be chay for onsim, and ain shovin le gazlan. He says, "Achiyuv mitam shachefetz hashol bershusa kishalov esvirlei latosvis." This is sheet of Tosfos in two places in Shas. I don't know, John, if you looked up those two Tosfos. I'm not gonna do that. I'm gonna put them all in your court. Send them all to your court for that. And he says that svirlei latosvis the ein chiyuv achrayis mechayev beisur chametz. In other words, now we have to reconcile the pasuk of lecha that appears in Lo Yirah Lecha, and we have to say that ultimately I need a some sort of bialus. There's going to be a quasi-bialus that's not real full-fledged bialus, but a bialus nevertheless. The Zikin is not bialus. And therefore, for Shomer's Chayav, because of Gnev Aveda, again, the Gemara goes through in Bava Metzia, third barak, and says, Ain Shmir El Bekarka, he's going to have to dig up the ground in order to put the money under the ground, so the Ganav doesn't take it. And sure enough, the Ganav came with, I don't know, one of those machines. He taps the ground and he figures out where there's money hidden. So in that case, you're chayev. Maybe you should have dug 10 tefachim down instead of only 5 tefachim. You remember the famous case of Tzrifa D'Urvdana, where instead of digging it down, he puts it into the little cubby hole in the side of a tzrif, of some sort of a hut. And the Gemara calls that Tchilas of a Pshiyah of a Sof Ba'onis. And in all these cases of the Zikin, it's not that you own the Chayfetz. You're just responsible for the action or the absence of an action. And that's called Nezik, and that's called Achrayis. But in the case of a Shoel, who's chayev because the Malach Abavis pulled away the animal, that doesn't make sense. That doesn't fit the bill of Nezikin, and therefore we have this new concept called Shaloh. And if you take a look at Rashi, the Rashi that we quoted from Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Beis, but now we look at it a second time, it's Meir Einayim, Rashi says that in this case of Balchov Kone Mashkon, how does that kinyan of the Balchov express itself in the fact that he's chai for onsim? De kulo bershuso, Rashi says. This is on the right column, about 5 lines up before the end of the column. He says, kulo bershuso. It's completely considered in his reshus. Ubishmiraso omen. Here the word shmira does not mean classic shmira of achrayus, but shmira means that no matter what happens to the animal, you're the owner of the animal, you're going to suffer the loss. And that makes sense in the case of Balchov Kona Mashkin. So if you have chametz that's a mashkon, or for that matter, if you accept achrayus at the level of onsim for someone else's chametz, then you become the bailim, and you violate lo yimotze because it's kishalo. Again, at this point, we don't know how to reconcile Rashi with the Gemara, because the Gemara says clearly that he's chayav for Gneva and Aveda. The Gemara never said that he's chayav for Onsim. You follow my point? The Gemara is not Meduyak, so to speak. If the Gemara wants to tell me that the only reason you're chayav for this chametz is because you took upon yourself a chiv of Onsim, the Gemara should have spelled that out. On the contrary, the Gemara seems to indicate that it's sufficient, and this is going to be the re-entosis of the Rambam, that you took upon yourself a chrayis of Gnev Aved. So now, in the next paragraph that starts with the words Ubishitos, Rav Soloveitchik now tries to analyze both the Shita of the Bahag, and first and foremost the Shita of the Ri, which is the Shita of the Rambam, which is really the Shita of the Shas, because you read the Gemara carefully, that's what it says, and that is that you took upon yourself a lower level of Chiyuv, not the level of Onsim, but you have a Chrayis for Gneva Vaveda. Now again, we're in trouble here, because we have been, so to speak, seduced into the position of the Balei HaTosfos and Rashi, that in order to give you bailus over the chametz, we need for you to be chayv and onsen, that the barometer of bailus is going to be onsen. And now we're dropping down to the law of, to the level of nezikin, of kabbalas achrayis, because I damaged your object in the sense that it was lost or it was stolen, and I'm responsible for that, and I took upon myself that level of responsibility. In the case of a Shomer Sachar, And this, I don't know what secular law says about this, but it's very mistaber. It's almost intuitive that if I pay you, I expect you to give me a higher level of shmira. And therefore, I expect that you would provide a shmira from Gneva Vaveda. Again, it may mean that you have to dig down under the ground to hide the ksafim, but I'm paying you for that. That's your responsibility. So the Rav suggests the following. He says that even the level of Gneva Vaveda, of Kabbalah Sachrayis, of Vishom Sachar, is a brand new kishalo. It's as if it's yours. Why? And he says the following. That according to the Shita of the Bahag, I'm sorry, according to the Shita of the Ri and the Rambam, leave out the Bahag for a moment, what happens is that you're above the, I don't know if the word above is good, I'll try to polish this up, you're above and beyond the level of Pshia. Let me explain. When we talk about Shomer, any Shomer, even a Shomer who's not, right, who's not being paid for a Shmira, he's chai for Pshia. Why? Because Pshia is antithetical to Shmira. They're mutually exclusive. That's like Kabbalah Sachrayus. In other words, I don't need Kabbalah Sachrayus to generate a chiyuv for pshia. That's already included in the concept of shomer. A shomer, by definition, has to provide shmira. If he takes the animal, puts it in the corral, leaves the door open, the animal runs out, well, you didn't provide shmira. The extra level of gneva vaveda, that's not because of pshia, that's purely because of Kabbalah Sachrayus. So he says the following. He says, Be'ikar geder kabbalah sachrayis hu bidin goreim l'mamon. What does that mean, goreim l'mamon? Again, Rav Soloveitchik is not entering into the battlefield here about goreim l'mamon between Rav Shimon and Chachamim, but he's using the concept in abstract terms of goreim l'mamon. The chiyuv of gneiva v'aveda as a result of kabbalah sachrayis above and beyond pshia, that's called goreim l'mamon. What does it mean? I'm telling you that I'm going to pay for you. I'm going to pay you back even though there was no element of Shia. Meaning I was a Shomer and within the confines of Shmira I fulfilled that and I provided that level of Shmira that I was required to provide, and still if it's stolen or if it's lost, I'm going to pay you for that. That means that I'm, so to speak, putting my money on the line here. I'm saying, you know what? Here's my money. I'm not giving you money, but what I'm saying is that this object is worth money to me, because if I don't return it to you, at least under the name of Aveda, then I'm going to have to pay you for that. That has nothing to do with Pshia. Pshia is not within the realm of Kabbalah Sachrayis. The Chi of Shmir V'Shomer Chinam is just simply provide Shmira. The opposite, the absence of Shmira is what? Is Pshia. And here the Rav goes very far. And you'll take a look at, because I think you might want to underline this, at a line, which is about 10 lines down in this paragraph, that starts with Urchayav. Do you see such a line? Right, Yosef, you like to underline things, right?
Yeah.
So do you see a line that starts with the word Chayav B'Pshia?
Yeah.
Oh, so if you
Chayav B'Pshia.
Right. So if you go now towards the left, at the end of that line that starts with Chayav B'Pshia, you'll see the word Choshev Kimazik. Again, it's only two words, but your eye has to focus on those two words, because that's, I think, the key to understand the way the Rav presents the Shita of the Ri and the Rambam, and that is that. You know why you pay for Pshia? Because Pshia is considered like a mazik. I mean, it's a very profound idea, very revolutionary idea. If I leave the door open, it's as if I damaged you. In other words, I'm a shomer, and basically the mafkin is saying to me that if you don't provide shmira, just basic shmira, then you're destroying my object. It's almost as if that up, you know, from up front, from the get-go, we already predict that there's going to be a hezek that's going to take place. The shor is going to either run out or it's going to be stolen. It's going to be lost. It's already damaged, so to speak. So in this case of a shomer, that has nothing to do with Kabbal Sakharias. I'm considered a mazik. And if I'm considered a mazik, then that has nothing to do with any sort of level of Kabbalah Sakharias where I'm saying, you know what, I'm putting my money out, on the line, because if this object is lost, I'm going to replace it. No, it has nothing to do with that. I'm damaging your object. Again, you and I would have said that Pshia is just the absence of Shmira, and it's a head there, it's a vacuum. But Rav Soloveitchik understands that it's not. It's considered as if I damaged your object.
It's almost like invoking that grammar is considered a mazik for this.
Correct. And that's the chiddush of Pshia, is that I'm a gorem mazik to such an extent that because I have the basic level of a shomer, I agree to be your shomer, then I accept that I'm a mazik b'toris gorem. He says, "B'tosefes biur." He says, "The Kabbalah Sachrayis b'Shomer Chinam." When the Shomer Chinam says, "Hanach lefanai," in other words, I'm going to be responsible to provide shmira. Ein ba'achrayis tashlumin. He's not saying, "Here's the money. You know, I'm giving you money in the bank in escrow in case it's lost." That's not what he's saying. He's saying that I'm responsible to provide shmira, and if I don't provide shmira, then if the object is lost, I'm going to pay for you because I didn't provide shmira. And he says that the Torah's Pshia, meaning the reason why you're chayav for Pshia, is not because you took upon yourself to pay for the object, but rather you took upon yourself to be shomer of the object. So that's not achrayis tashlumin, but rather it's achrayis shmira. And this is a very subtle but yet fundamental distinction between a shomer chinam and a shomer socher. In a shomer chinam situation, my achrayis was only Pshia. I don't have to pay you. I'm not going to pay you for this. You can sue me for damages, because if I'm a poshea, I damaged your object. But I'm not putting down money up front, and therefore that's not called achrayis tashlumin. That's called only achrayis shmira. And therefore, according to this sheet of the Ri and the Rambam, kabbalah shmira shomer chinam, that has nothing to do with this sugya. This sugya wants to make you into a quasi-bailim and make you into shaloh as far as Bal Yerov Bal Yemotzi is concerned. That means that as a dover agorim l'mamon, there's a kabbalah sakharias of mamon here, and I'm saying basically your money is in the bank. Where is that money? It's in this object. If that money is gone, if this object is taken away, it's stolen or it's lost, I'm going to pay you for it. That's called kabbalah sakharias. But a shomer is chinam. That's already a din of pshia. That's already a din of mazik. He says, "Mashen king shomer socher shechay begneiv aveda ain zem idin pshia de ha adam a mazik poter biones ke ain gneiva." Okay, that's the sugya that I told you about, the machlokas between Tosus and the Ramban. But he says that the reason why a person is chayav in the case of a Shomer Socher, why a Shomer Socher is chayav for Gneva Veda, is not because of the din of Mazikin. Again, he's invoking the halacha that a Mazik would be potter for Onsim. And this case of Shomer of Gneva Veda, from the perspective of Shmira, is an Ones, meaning he supplied the exact level of Shmira. Now, the Rav is not willing to entertain at this point, because it would be suicidal in terms of this context, that maybe when he's mekabel shmira with payment, at that point, he's chayav to provide a higher level of shmira. Because the Rav finds it intolerable to accept the following concept, that if something is stolen, I'm considered a mazik. If the animal is left off hefker and I open the door, that's a pshia of a shomer chinam, then I could be considered a mazik. I basically set up a situation where the animal is gonna get lost. But in the case of gneiva v'aveda, where there's an interference here of intervention of a ganov, that means that I provided shmira. You can't tell me I'm a mazik.
You can't call him a gorim either.
You can't even call him a Goryim HaMazik. You see, again, keep in mind that I like to always play the devil's advocate here. There's another way of understanding Shomer Sachar. You could understand Shomer Sachar means you're paying me, I have to provide a higher level of Shmir. Anything less than that higher level of Shmir makes me into a Mazik. And the Rav finds that intolerable. You can't call a person a Mazik when there are other factors here that undermined your Shmira. Had you been a Shomer Chinam, you would have been Pater. Why? Because you did provide Shmira. And therefore the Rav insists that the extra level of Shmira is nothing more than a Kabbalas Achrayas of Tashlumin, in which I said to you, I'm putting, my money is where my mouth is. I'm putting my money here on the line, and in event that X, Y, or Z happens, I'm going to be paying you for that. That's called already a different quality of achrayus. And now the Rav wants to suggest that when I say to you, I will pay you, and that's the Kabbalas achrayus, that's considered mine. That's considered Dovra Gorim Lamaman. I have my money invested in this object. Why? Because in event that this object is lost, and I'm not the mazik, I provided Shmira, I was Mekabel achrayus, I'm going to pay you. That's called a Dovra Gorim Lamaman. Universal, it would not be yours. But in Chametz, it's considered yours. You have such vested interest here in this Chametz, in this whiskey bottle, because you're accepting upon yourself a Christ for Gnev Aveda that goes way beyond Shmira, that's way beyond Pshia, that's not a Mazik. That Kabbalas HaChrayus is a monetary responsibility that thus licked in them bottle from whiskey. If I'm saying it, it's inherent in the bottle itself. The bottle of whiskey is my money. And that's enough in Chametz. The last shita, which is the most difficult shita of all, is the shita of the Bahag. The Bahag says, as the Rosh quotes him, that it's enough that you mekabel achrayus for pshia, like that of a Shomer Chinam, and you violate Ba'yiro Ba'yimotzeh. That's going to be very, very difficult. So first we'll take a little bit of a break and we'll study the Me'iri. As I said to you before, it's highly doubtful that the Rav quoted the Me'iri. And that could be for a number of reasons. I'll tell you what the Amcha says. The man on the street says that the Rav thinks that there are mistakes in the Me'iri, that it's not, it's not that we don't have the right manuscripts, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to go into all the scholarly issues here. I think it's a much more existential problem that the Rav has with the Me'iri. And he considers the Me'iri as an anthologist. Is there such a word, or has I just created such a word? I don't know. If it's a real word, then I'm on the right track here. The Me'iri basically anthologizes other Rishonim, Cherim, and this that he has a name for each one of the Rishonim. The Gedolei HaMechaberim is the Rambam, the Gedolei HaMefarshim is Rashi. He basically just presents the whole thing. I believe that at the end of his career, the Rav finally saw the light, and he realized that the Me'iri was a Mechadish. Again, he's not the Mechadish like the Ramban, or the Rashba, or the Ritva. I wouldn't put him in the same category. But the Me'iri has his own insights. And I think it took like about 50 years to convince the Rav that was so. And people used to open up the Me'iri and Shia, and the Rav would basically close it. I'm not interested in anthologies. You give me a Rishon, and I want to rack my brains to figure out a Rishon. He's original in his thinking. I'll put my shoulder to the task, but not the Me'iri. So that's why I highly doubt that this was actually the Rav's quote. I don't think the Rav had the Me'iri on his table and he opened up the Me'iri, but anything could happen. Who knows? Ikar advarim, says the Me'iri, shebishmiras chinam vadai potur. The Me'iri says that there's no question in his mind that if you have the status of achrayis of a shomer chinam on chametz, you're definitely potur from ba'yiro ba'yimotzeh. Why? Look at the language. Shechiyuv pshia ke'ein hezeku. You see, if the Rav was given this Me'iri before he racked his brains on his own, he would have said, this is crazy. How can you say such a thing? But since he came up with the idea on his own, now the Me'iri becomes the title of the Messiah. He says, the Pshia Kein Hezeku. It's almost like he's a Mazik. The Ein Chiyuvo Mitorah Shmira Gemura. That sentence is a little bit ambiguous. I think the way the Rav is interpreting that sentence, if he actually saw the Me'iri, is that the chiyuv here has nothing to do with Kabbalah Shmira. meaning Kabbalah Shmira as a Chiv Tashlum. It only has to do with the fact that since he's a Shomer, if he opens the door and he doesn't lock it, he's considered a Poshea Kemazik. The next few words is certainly not for the Rav, that I can promise you. The Kain Kasim Aram Chalva. I learned Pesachim with the Rav, he never quoted the Aram Chalava. However, you should know that the Talmidim of the Rav are very heavy into the Aram Chalava. I'll give you one example. You know, I spent 2 years in Landa College, and the Rosh Hashiva, I guess, of the whole operation is Rabbi Daniel Lander, and he would quote the Aram Chalva left, right, and center. And then he quotes the Rav Shulchan Aruch, again, certainly not the Rav. He says that Al Shomer Chinam Eino Kekabolas Achrayas El Zenikre Kabolas Shmira Bilvad. And the Rav Shulchan Aruch wants to differentiate between Kabbalah Shmira and Kabbalah Sachrayus. And he says, Im Yifsha, why is the Shomer Chayav in the case of a Shomer Chinam for Pshia? Has nothing to do with Kabbalah Sachrayus, but rather it's because of Poshea who Kemazik B'yadai. So we see over and over again that this concept of identifying Pshia as Mazik is already written in the Kadmonim, if we could call it that.
You're talking here about Pshia in terms of the lack of Shmira as opposed to Shlichut Yad.
Well, Shlichut Yad, I think everyone would agree, is called a Mazik, in other words, or a Ganav, whatever you want to call him. Mm-hmm. But we're talking about that, you know, he doesn't lock the door of the pen, if you follow what I mean. Oh. Ulam tzarech in la Rambam the sphere le de moel gam achrayis tashlumin shal yidei on us. The Rambam holds, again, we have to go back to the Rambam again, because this part of the Rambam we didn't read. He says the following, that even if the goy forces you to the sachrayis, that's halacha dalet, goy sha'onas vehifkid chemtzo etzel Yisrael, he's an anos, aleph nun samach, that means he compels the Jew to watch his object, forces him. He says, im yodea, if the Jew realizes that im avado nignav, mechayvo l'shalmo, he's going to have to pay, the anos is going to force him to pay the kofehu, and then the kofehu v'onso, meaning he forces him, L'shalim is afal pishlo kibel achrayus hareza chayv levaro. This is the sugi of Rava with the Bnei Bechuza, that it doesn't necessarily mean that the Jew accepted willingly his achrayus; he was compelled to do so, and the anos is going to force him to pay. Even in the absence of kabbalas achrayus, he is in violation of chametz, and he has to destroy the chametz. Sharei nechshav keilu hu shelo v'bnei shemachayvo ha'anos b'achrayuso. So until now, we've really been discussing what we call Kabbalah Sachrayus, meaning I accepted upon myself a Christ willingly. The Rambam goes a major step further, and that's based on the Gemara of Tashlumin al Yedei Anas. Afilum Eino Mechuyu B'Achrayus Klal. This was never Kabbalah Sachrayus, but the Anas is going to make him pay up. Ubal Korchach. The Ikar Geder Achrayus L'Ram Eino Kabbalah Sachrayus. It's not inherent in the essence of Kabbalah Sachrayus, but rather the fact that he's going to pay in event that it's lost or stolen. That gives him a quasi ownership over the chametz. V'im kein kashal l'shitaso ma'ishna shomer chinam mishomer sachar sof halo gam shomer chinam meshalim al nezek. Yeah, but the answer is that the Shomer Chinam is only chayav because he's a poshea. However, in the case of an anos, here, and that's what's what he points out in the paragraph Dibur Maskel and Nira Poshut towards the end of the essay, he says the Geder Achrayus Shel Chometz Havi Kishalo Hu Rak Bachrayus Al Nizkei Gnei Vaveda She'enom Tluyim Biyodo. And he wants to suggest the following, that if you're going to have to pay for the object, if it's lost or stolen, he's saying that that's already after you provided a very good shmira, it's already out of your control. Oz nechshav hachometz kimamono. Now at this point he introduces the Ramban, and he says that this is going to be considered rotze b'kiyumo. Now, If it's rotza b'kiyumo, that should apply even to a shomachino, because the shomachino, in the event that the object is lost, is going to have to replace it and pay with it, because he's chayv in pshia. Why isn't that rotza b'kiyumo? Aval im achrayis hu rak al nezek shel pshia, asher biyado limnoes hanezek. You know, if he'll provide shmira, he will avoid this nezek. B'chay gavna eina pikodon choshev ki goreim lemomon. Right, the whole yisod, how yisod is here of violating Bal Yoroba Yimotzi is because it's considered like Shalo, is because it's Goreim Lemamon. Goreim Lemamon means that it's out of my control. I'm going to have to pay for it no matter what happens. If the object is lost, even if there's no responsibility or negligence on my part. But in the case where it's bishalo, it's biyado, he has the power to prevent the loss of the object, that's not considered a davar goreim lemamon. And it's not considered shalo. Now you can always ask the question, why is this so? I mean, okay, it's biyado limnoas hahezek, so what? At the end of the day, he wants the chametz to exist, and if the chametz is gone, under certain conditions, he's going to have to pay for the chametz. So the Rav says that's not called davar goreim lemamon. Dover Gori Lamam means there has to be some sort of monetary responsibility for it. Here, we don't call this a monetary responsibility. We call this a situation in which is in your control. You have the domain. You have the buttons to press in order to prevent the loss of the object. And he says the following, B'chol Mamad Sheba'olam Gam HaMunach B'yad Acher B'yad Olahazik Oso. He compares, it's a wild comparison. He says that no one would say, I'm chayev in achrayus and in Bal Yoroba Yimotzi for your chametz and your rishus, even though if I destroy your chametz, I'll have to pay for it. And the same thing is happening here in the case of a shomer, of a shomer chinam, I mean to say. That's not considered goreim lemamon. Vatamu desof kol sof zelo havi kabos achrayus. V'im kein, gam bekabol shmira mamish rak im achefetz nimtza b'achrayuso gam min ezikin shehem kein ones. That's called, again, kein ones, he means gneva v'aveda, he's explaining the Rambam Shita, is then chayef. Why is he considered a bailim here? Choshev tekibol of achrayis favalei goreim lemomen. Once there's this new level of, I jack it up to kabolas achrayis, and again, it could be even if an anos forces me, so that the object now represents my mamon. Not so in the case of a shomer chinam, because in the case of shomer chinam in pshia, there he can simply do what he has to do, provide basic shmira, and he doesn't have to see this as some sort of a chrayus of mamon. L'chein tzvil l'ramad rak shomer socher shu mekabel achrayus al nizkei gnei v'aveda sheyesh bohen ones k'tzas choshiv ki kabbalas achrayis v'goreim lemamon. Nowhere in this presentation does Rav Soloveitchik explain the shitas of the Bahag. The Bahag says that yechayiv even in the case of a shomer chinam who's chayiv a pshia. Now, why is that considered shalo? He doesn't have to be mazik the animal. Apparently, again, I think that's written here in the space between here and the next simon. He holds that the Bahag holds that in the case of a shomer, he's chayef a pshia not as a mazik, and this is where Sam says well before that's only a goreim lenezek. So it could be that if not for kabbal sachrais in the case of a shomer chinam, he would be chayef b'din shamayim. Right, for example, you remember the Gemara in Hakones, which says that if I open up the door of your pen and the animal goes out, you can't sue me for damages. But I'm chayv b'din shamayim. That's called a goreim. So goreim b'din zik and potter, that's only potter b'din shamayim, potter b'din yodam, but chayv b'din shamayim. So how do we jack up the level of the goreim in the case of a shomer that was poshea from the level of... from the level of goreim, which is chayav b'din shamayim, to the level of a chiyuv achrayus, such that he's chayav b'din yodam, that now you can sue the shomer in a court of law. So it's not like the case where I go into your chametz and I open up the door and then somebody comes in and steals steals it. That might be a grumim b'nezikin, or if the chametz has wings and it flies away. Do we have a case of chametz with wings? let's say a bird is holding on to the chometz. I don't know. We'll come up with a case. So in that case, where I opened up the door, I'm chayv b'din shamayim, but I'm not chayv b'din yodim because grovin is zikin potter. So we have to introduce here a new element of kabbal sachrayus, and that's the sheet I think of the Mahag, that even the chiyuv pshia is b'din dovra goyim l'mamon. It's not like the case where I go in and I open up the door for you. In such a case, you can't force me to pay damages. So let's say you had chometz in your rishus and I would open up the door, and the chometz would fly away. I don't have to pay damages for that. That's not a mazik. That's only a grum of an ezekin. Correct? So I basically remove the shmira that you had by opening up the door. So removing shmira, in this case causing the absence of shmira, is not enough to grant you the ability to force me to pay. So that's not a dovra goyim l'mamon. But on the other hand, if you give me a whiskey and I open the door and somebody flies away with the whiskey, or the whiskey has wings and it flies, in such a case I pay the dine adam. That becomes a dovra goyim l'mamon. And that comes under kabbal sachrayus. Because if not for the kabbal sachrayus, when the shomer says anach lefanai, it would only be grub ben ezik, and it only be chayev in dine shamai. Now, Rabosai, there's another line in this Gemara which we have to study, and that'll take us back to Simon Yud Beis on page Chav Ches, which I think you have. And that line of the Gemara is something that caught the attention of the Rimi Arlinish here in Tosis Divir Maschel Avol on Daf Heyam Yud Beis. The Gemara says that what do we derive from the Pasuk Lo Yira Lecha Shel Chai Atoroa? Now, what does this mean, shel acherim? So Rashi says it means shel nachrim. So the chometz of a guy is in my possession, in my rishus, and I'm pot. Again, I may have to build a mechitza, whatever it might be, but I'm potter from Bal Yirah and Bal Yimotze. And this is derived from the word Lucha. Then I have another case. There's chametz that belongs to Hegdesh. Rashi says, Bedek HaBayis. We'll have a long discussion about that, Rashi. And it's in my Rishus. And Lucha teaches me that I'm not Chayev. So I don't have to destroy neither the chametz of a Goy in my Rishus, nor the chametz of Hegdesh in my Rishus. So the Rimi Arlanish asks the obvious question. Well, how can you derive two things from Lucha? When the Gemara says in Masechta Chala, which is quoted later on in Masechta Psachim, and also Masechta Menachos, it says that the word Ariso Sechem, which is Machayev and Chala, appears twice in the Torah. And the Gemara says, Chad Lemutei Nachri, so this Isa belongs to a guy, and Chad Lemutei Hegdesh, the Isa belongs to Hegdesh. So why is it that in Chala we need two psukim, one for Nachri and one for Hegdish, whereas here, in the case of Chametz, one pasuk suffices? And then he goes on to say that Bisfar Meduyakim Goras Chad Kedei Arisal Secha, meaning the Shir of Isa, and Chad Lemute Isa's Hegdish, and then we could say that same Miut of Ariso Seichem that excludes Hegdesh also excludes Shal Akum. So there's only one pasuk that would exclude the Chiyuv of Hafrashas Chala in the case of an Isa of a guy, in the case of an Isa of Hegdesh. All we need is one pasuk Ariso Seichem, and we're going to use the other Ariso Seichem according to this Girsa for the Shir of Chala, the Shir of Isa. So basically, if you don't accept that second girsa, there is a stira between two sugyas which Tosus doesn't reconcile. One sugya assumes that you need a pasuk for shel akum and another pasuk for shel hegdesh, and our sugya assumes that one pasuk, one exclusion, will exclude both. You know, when you see a sugya like this, with a Tosus like this, you feel, let's just move on. You know, it's just so technical, you know what I mean? But it's much more profound than technical. You should know, I find in my learning, like there was a short period of time where I was learning Daf Yomi from Masechta Zvachim. Masechta Zvachim is like, I'm exaggerating, but it's like 90% drushes. You know, how to derive this from the pasuk and that from the pasuk. And like, There's something in the back of my brain that just turns off. Like, I'm not into drushes. You know, I've been trained in lumdas. But it's a mistake. Because some of the most profound lumdas comes from drushes. It's dafka those sugyas. You know, the darshan from this, the darshan for that. And here's another example in our case, that there's a tremendous amount of lumdas about the difference between chametz and the difference between challah, in the fact that in the case of challah we need two psukim, and in the case of challah one pasuk suffices. A piece of chametz, I meant to say. So let's take a look inside here, and we're gonna fast forward to page chaf tes, and then we'll come back. We'll lead to the Rashi about truma. You remember I told you we had another Rashi to look up on daf mem vav. So that's on page chaf ches. So he says the following. He quotes the Tosfos as we have it. And he says, Kfar Mefursam. So if you're on page Chav Tes, you're going to count up on the right column,
yeah,
four lines up from the bottom. It's Doch Bevust. It's a known thing. The Matim Ha'olam Liyashiv Kushis HaTosfos. So I don't know who says this. He says, Le'in Chala Lo Be'ine Lachem. Challah does not require, there's no precondition to challah that I own the Issa. There's no private ownership that is necessary as the precondition for the Chiyuv Challah. And I'll prove it to you. Because the halacha is that your Chayav Challah, even for Hefker, even for something that you don't own, it's ownerless. Lo be'ina lachem. There's no precondition of lachem. And the lumdness behind it is that challah is not a chovas gavra, it's a chovas cheftza, meaning the isa itself generates a chiyuv challah. Why? Because the isa is tevel lechallah. Now we need ariso sechem, but we don't know what ariso sechem is teaching me. Because again, you don't need bailus for what you call it for chiyuv challah, because it's the isa itself is tevel. It needs hafrosha. Is mebela. We're going to have to derive a whole different conclusion here. And that is that we have a miut in which the Torah excludes Isa Shel Hegdesh from the Chiyuv Challah, and the Torah excludes the ownership of Akum in this Isa from a Chiyuv Challah. What we mean to say is, let's take Akum. Akum is a little bit simpler than Hegdesh. Well, in the case of Akum, we're saying that the bialus of the Akum is antithetical to Hafrashas Challah. Challah is, you know, is Truma, means it has Kedushas, what we call Gvulin, Hegdesh Gvulin. And this Issa belongs to a guy. You know what I mean? Keep it away from me. I don't care about, there's no Challah here. Hegdesh is a little bit more complicated, but maybe Hegdesh means it's already Hegdesh, and therefore the Torah is not asking for an Issa Shel Hegdesh to again have another Hafrash of Hegdesh, of Challah. But again, that's all philosophy. But the bottom line is, there are two pturim here. Neither of them are generated by the requirement of lachem, because there ain't no such thing. There's no requirement of lachem in challah. Ella, what is a ptur? Oh, if it's a ptur, I don't derive conclusions from the ptur of Akum to the ptur of Hegdesh, or vice versa, because none of this is the absence of bailus. And pashat there, therefore, the ptur zeh Lav mishum di ena shaychis la mafresh is a chal. It's not because it doesn't belong and it's not owned by the mafresh, by the owner of the chal, because he doesn't even have to own the chal. El zeu ptur begufa isa. That somehow the ownership of the akum of hegdesh changes the isa. It transforms the isa. It changes the personality of the isa. Vim kein akum vehegdesh havi shnei pturim nifradim, and therefore we need two. The Torah says lecha, and we derive from the word lecha shalcha iataroeh, which means shalcha iataroeh, which means that the mechayev of bali rovah is bailus, and unless you own the chametz, there's no violation of bali rovah matzeh. Is therefore this word lecha could exclude both the case of Shal Akum and the case of Shel Hekdesh as well, because in neither one of these two cases do I have Bailus. So the absence of Bailus removes Bal Yiroh Bal Yimotzeh. And I'll prove it to you, says Reb Soloveitchik. He says, take a look at Tosis in the name of the Ri with regard to Bittul. Tosis says that when the Gemara says that Bittul Bal Masagi is because once Bittul is Hefker, it's Yotzeh Meshuso. So in other words, as opposed to Chala, would you be Chaya for Chala even if it's Hefker in the absence of ownership? In the case of Chometz, at least according to the Ri and Tosfos, and the Ramban again is questionable, but the Ri and Tosfos holds that Hefker is enough to remove Bal Yiroh Bal Yimotzeh. Why? Because the Torah requires Lecha Ubisbayer. And we see clearly from Tosus that miyut shalachem shal gavoy ain't miyut mesuyam. It's not that there's a p'tur of chametz shalacherim and another p'tur of chametz shal gavoy. They both reflect the same source, the same origin, namely that they're lacking in bialus. It's not yours. Ela klala ika the kol she'ena chametz shalo ena overla mishum bal yiroh bal yimotzeh. Is mebele we can answer the kasha of the Ri Merrill Lynch. That leads us up to the paragraph Ulam. Very good, solid lumpness. You know, I always say that if you're looking for an example to teach children, I don't mean children, to teach those who are, and we all fit into this category of children. We're all struggling to understand the methodology of Shas. This, I think, as a lesson plan, would be a very good example of, just training us how to think. And again, I see it as the cherry on top is that the sugya seems so technical and so insignificant, so secondary. You know, like, give it a break. So Tosefta, Tub Sugya, what? Like, who cares? Like, Reinaf Gemina, the din is the same at the end of the day. And the Rimi Olanish didn't even bother giving us an answer. But here you see a very fundamental conceptual difference, and the nafkamina is going to be hefker, as we said before. And in the case of chametz, the Ri at least holds that bittul equals hefker, and midraisa bittul bal masagi, so once it's out of your possession, it's not yours, Okay, all this is going to be problematic, according to Rashi. Because Rashi's shita is, and this is the Gon and the Pnei Yoshua both came up with the same analysis of Rashi, that you violate Bal Yiroh Bal Yimotzeh even without Bailus. And that means if the chametz of a guy is in your Rishus, and you accepted it in your Rishus, you told the guy, put it down in my Rishus, then Rashi holds that you're chayef for Bal Yiroh Bal Yimotzeh. And I think we've discussed this in the past, In great detail. So there are two elements in Bailus. There's Shalo Bershuso. Shitas Atosis is that Shalo is a precondition in Bal Yiroh Bal Yimotzeh. Rashi says no, you could have something called Reshuso. And if that be the case, and the Ramban seems to also be on this line of reasoning, because the Ramban entertains at least the idea based on Yerushalmi that you be chayav for chametz shel hefker, then we really need to generate two new pturim here. And that's going to be shalachair v'shal gavah. And then we're back to square one as far as the Rimi Olanish's kasha. Why is it that one pasuk suffices? So in order to appreciate the Rav's answer here, let's go back to Daf Chaf Ches. And we're going to look at a Rashi later on. What parak is it? In the third parak, Memvav.
Yeah.
Memvav of an Aleph. Okay. And we're talking about Rabbi Yeshua. Let's see if I can just find this. Give me a second here. Anybody see it? Oh, here it is. Ketzad Mafrishin Chala. It's three lines up before the end of the Amud. No, I'm sorry. That's not. Is that the one I'm looking for? Yeah. Ketzad Mafrishin Chala Bituma Biyantif. And we have the sheet of Rabbi Yeshua. And he says, Lo Zeu Chameit Shemuzharin Alav Vibay Rabbi Yimotzeh. So in other words, the question is, if a person is mafrish challah, from chametz on yontif, is there a violation of ayira by imotze? And Rabbi Yeshua says no. So Rashi says, why is he not in violation of ayira by imotze? It's the top Rashi on daf mem vavim in beis. He refers to more of the lav di dehu. It's not his chametz. It's not his chametz. Li achar shekara lehashem. In other words, who does this belong to? After he was kore shem chala, everybody belongs to shem kahuna. Correct. He hasn't yet given it to any specific kohen. Ukroksim shalcha yatarav is the edo shalcha. Velo shalcha vercha dakati lo motel yad kohen. This Rashi fits beautifully into the Shitas Hari in the Tosav Abitul, that the Machayim of Bali Rabbi Matzi is Shalcha, you have to own the Chametz. Here, Rabbi Yeshua claims, that's how Rashi interprets it, there's no problem in the Chametz because the Chametz belongs to the Kohanim. Right? He was Mafresh and it belongs to the Kohanim.
But until you give it to the Kohanim, you're Shomer on it.
Oh, you want to say the Torah Zacharias. I thought you were going to say something different, that it's still yours until you give it to the Kohen. Okay, so Rashi understands that in this middle state, after you occur a shame, but you haven't yet delivered it to the Kohen, the challah doesn't belong to you, and therefore, hence, you're not in violation of Ayurah by Yimotze. But where is the challah? It's in your Rishus. So this Lechora is a stira to at least the way the Gaon and the Pnei Yeshua understood Rashi. Now, let's take a look at the previous paragraph here, the first paragraph on page Schof Ches in the Siman Yud Beis, in the bottom half of the page. Mm-hmm. What is the deal? Rashi says, Avol HaTorah Shel Acherim, that when the Gemara here on Daf Hayam and Beis excludes, based on Lecha, Chomet Shel Acherim, Rashi says, we're talking about Kigo Nachri. So the Pnei Yoshua and the Gra both of a dike. Why did Rashi have to say Kigo Nachri? Why didn't he say Shal Yisrael? Do you follow? Mm-hmm. It says Shal Acherim. The word Acherim could be interpreted many ways. But the implication here of Rashi is that if this chametz would have belonged to a Jew, then if the Jew's chametz is in your rishus, you violate by your rabbi and matzah. Oh, excellent. So therefore, the case of Chala, let's say it belongs to the Kohanim, but nevertheless, it's in your rishus. And according to the understanding of Rashi, he should be in violation of Ayurah Bayimotzeh. Vanira Bazeh, that's the paragraph here on the bottom left going on to the next page, that Mamad HaShevet is different than Shutfus. Meaning, Shutfus basically means private ownership. We are partners, but each one of us has definite and private individual ownership on the object. Not so in the case of Mamad HaShevet. So this is a new kind of bailus. It's not the bailus of Shutfus. And he says, therefore, there's no particular Kohen that owns the Chametz. So Rashi holds that if a particular Kohen owns Chametz, and a particular person owns Chametz, and I have that Chametz in my Rishus, that's not considered Shalacherim, because Shalacherim only applies to a Nachri, but here belongs to a Jew. But what happens in the case of a Chametz which doesn't belong to any Jew? Now, what's that case? Rashi holds that that's the case of chametz shel chala in the middle stage between, meaning after kriya shem, but before you deliver it to any particular kohen. Is Bebele, let's go back and read the Rashi again. We didn't pay attention to the end of Rashi. Rashi says, v'zeh eno shel chavercha. Beautiful. Rashi's saying that after you have mafresh the challah, that challah doesn't belong to any Jew. Ella, who does it belong to? It belongs to Mamon Shemit. And why doesn't it belong to any Jew? Any particular kohen? De'akati lo matul yad kohen. So fakeret, this Rashi is the greatest proof to the sheet of the Gaon and the sheet of Pei Yeshua and Rashi, namely that Rashi would hold that if you had delivered this to a kohen, you would be in violation of Ayur Rabbi Matzah, because then there's private ownership of the Kohen. The only reason you're not chayav of Ayur Rabbi Matzah is because this Chavitz doesn't belong to any particular Jew.
Can you comment on that phrase, the penultimate line, the line before the Bible?
El Adido? No.
She'em o balam nesuyim hamuzar alav of Ayur Rabbi Matzah. That your chiv is dependent on whether somebody else is over.
Right. Is he subject, or does this chavetz lend itself to a violation of Ayur HaBayim Matzah?
That's what it means?
Yeah. In other words, I now take up, in a sense, my chiyuv of Ayur HaBayim Matzah is an extension of your chiyuv of
Ayur HaBayim Matzah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That sounds like...
Not what we discussed before about Lo Yiron, Lo Yimotzi. What was the phrase you used over there?
Bonus.
No, that is a bonus.
No, but I'm just saying, I find I can't wrap my head around this, that I'm only chayev if the owner is chayev for it.
Like, in other words,
I'm doing something with them.
No. What it means is that the chametz lends itself to Bayur HaBayimotzi. If it lends itself to Bayur HaBayimotzi, that chametz in your shus is a violation of Bayur HaBayimotzi.
So if a shaita owns it, you still be chayev.
Yeah. He's talking about Mavad HaSheva, which is not shutfus. That's the thing.
A shaita covenant with
the So take a look now on page Lavin, and there's another diuk here in Rashi. This is so fascinating. Rashi says that chavetz shel hegdesh im higdisha lebedek habayis. Now here's an interesting question. What happens, that's what the Rav wants to address here, if you are magdish chavetz lemizbeach? What chavetz would go on the mizbeach?
Chalas toda.
So he says the following. Why did Rashi go out of his way to add three words? Vekdisha lebedek habayis. And he says, obviously, Rashi's telling you that dafka bedek habayis, that's going to be considered mamon hegdish, and that's going to take this chametz out of Bal Yiron Bayim Matzah, because now it belongs to hegdish. I heard this a million times from the Rav. He used to always say that the ownership of hegdish is no different than the ownership of anybody. Hegdish is an entity, you know. It's like the Vatican. You know, the Vatican produces their own coins, I think, their own stamps, you know. There's such a thing called the ownership of hegdish. But that's only kedushas bedek habayis, what we call kedushas domim. On the domim, hegdish becomes the owner. And Rashi says the ownership of hegdish removes it from Bal Yiron Bayim Matzah. Aval kedushas mizbeach, davi mamon bailim. This is the famous sugya of Kavar. Reb Chaim built the Tili Tilim on this, and Reb Moshe Salvage, that's called Meikara Tura Deruvin V'Hashta Tura Deruvin. That if my shor, which I was magdish l'mizbeach, would be mazik your shor, then it's still considered shor re'eu, and I'm chay for nezikin. If I took this shor and I was magdish it for bedek habayis, not for the mizbeach, I'd be potter under the din of shor re'eu v'lo shor shel hegdish. So Reb Chaim used to build on that in the case of a korban, I own the korban. We discussed this when we were learning Zvachim. And we were talking about the fact that there's bailus over a korban. You know, you could say I'm bailum over the kapara of the korban, but he's saying, no, I'm bailum over the korban, even after I was magdish, the animal never left my ownership. Right. And therefore, magdish in Mizbeach, lo avi kemechira. It's not...
Right,
but I think it goes even beyond that, because that's what I'm saying, Sam. You could have said L'shem Bailam means that he's the Bailam as far as Kapara is concerned,
okay.
Right?
Okay.
You know, we have different cases in Zvachim, I don't remember all the details, where you can have one person who owns the animal, another person, you know, I can bring the animal on behalf of you, so you'll be Miskaper. So we're not really talking about, I don't think we're talking about the Bailam on the Ritzuy of the Karban, we're talking about the Bailam on the Gufa Karban, that you never actually took it out of your Rishus, you never gave it to Hegdish. You basically accepted upon yourself that this kedusha is mizbeach, and therefore you'll have to bring this animal onto the mizbeach. That's your responsibility, but it's your animal. Mm-hmm. And the proof is from the sugya in Bava Kama. I think, if I'm not mistaken, Reb Baruch Bera says full paragraphs on this from what he heard from Reb Chaim, full essays. I mean, the Gemara says that if machro lehejot meikar tur deruv v'hashta tur deshimon, right? That if I sell this to someone else, then it used to be Reuven's and now belongs to Shimon. But if I take something that was mine, let's say an animal zemach, and I'm makdish it l'shamayim again from his back, then meikar to the Reuven, the Gemara says v'hashta to the Reuven.
It still
remains mine. Mm-hmm. And this is the fundamental difference between kodshei mizbeach and kodshei Berek HaBayis. Kodshi Berek HaBayis is in Din Mamon, and once I'm Magdish it, is Amiros L'Gavoa Kibasi Ros L'Henshin, I transfer ownership over the Hegdesh, over to Hegdesh, Masha Enke Kodshi Mizbeach, that remains my private property. So the only thing I wanted to see with you, actually I'd prepared some of the Seder Oach, but I just realized that we're sort of short on time. But let's just take a quick peek at this Tosis Ulam, at this paragraph Ulam on page Chof Tes. L'Rashi disover the Afchemso Shal Yisrael Acher Hanimtza Bershuso over Bal Yiroh, again the Pnei Yishudim Groh, in Kei Nimtza the Ein Din Lachem below Bal Yiroh. I'm sorry, Belav the Bal Yiroh. Right, because Rashi holds this machayev bal yiroah even without ownership. The ein bal yiroah b'shal akum, the ein bal yiroah shal gavoa upturim hey mamamish kipturim the chala b'akum heglish. Right, the Rebbe answers this question. Omnam lefima shenispar eino kein. To afal libe the Rashi yisod aptur beheglish v'akum echad hu to be inon shei achomis b'shus gavra hamuzar b'bayiro b'yimotzik de lavral. In other words, we look at this chomis and we ask about the nature of this chomis. Does this chomis belong to someone who could violate b'yiro b'yimotzik? And in the case of Hegdesh, again, like the case of Truma that we discussed, the Challah that we discussed before, it belongs to the entire Shevet, and there's no private ownership, and therefore there's no Bayiro Bayimotze. And Zeu Lecha HaOmer B'Torah, that's what the Torah means by Lecha. So you're following this? Because now there's a brilliant answer to Tosus' question in the Rimi Olainish, even according to Rashi. Bishleim, according to Tosus, we could say that the Torah says Lecha in Chometz, which means you have to have Bailim, and if I don't need two psukim, one for Hegdesh and one for Nochri. But according to Rashi, that Rashi holds you don't need Bailus, and you violate Bal Yiroh Bayimotze because Yenim's, you know, another Yid's Chometz is in your possession, so you don't need ownership. So then I need two psukim, one to exclude Chometz Shel Akum, one to exclude Chometz Shel Hegdesh. Says the Rav, no. What we're saying is that when Rashi holds you can be chayav from Bal Yiroh Bayimotze, even though it's not your Chometz, it's because the Chometz itself lends itself to Bal Yiroh Bayimotze in the Rishus of another Yisrael. So Shimon has his Chometz in Reuven's Rishus. Reuven is liable for Bal Yiroh Bayimotze insofar as the Chometz lends itself to Bal Yiroh Bayimotze on the part of Shimon. But in the cases of Hegdesh and Nachri, since in both these cases there's no lecha, meaning there's no ownership on the chametz that could generate bal yiroah bayimotzei, is therefore the chametz is mufka from the iser bal yiroah bayimotzei. Now we turn to Daf Lamed, and he says afilu k'shu b'rishus yisrael ach. And again, we can now answer the Tosfos kash. We don't need two mi'utim, one for Akum, one for Hegdesh, because they both teach me the exact same thing. Namely, that if the chometz is not owned by someone who is liable for Bal Yiroah Bayimotzei, then there's no Bal Yiroah Bayimotzei, even for the Yisrael in whose possession the chometz shel Akum, the chometz shel Hegdesh is to be found. Now, all this fits according to everything we've said, except when we get to the Ramban, and that's at the end of page Lamed Aleph. The Ramban shita is that you violate Bal Yiroah Bayimotzei for Hefker. And the reason for that is because the Yisodas, according to the Ramban, the basic definition of Bal Yiroah Bayimotzei is Rotze B'Kiyumo. And now I'm waiting to, you know, till after Pesach to be Zoche in this Hefker. So I have vested interest here in the existence of this Hefker. So he says, Lo Tikshe L'Ramban Me'am Mishnah Daf Memvav Di'ein Over Bal Yiroah B'Chala Alib L'Rab Yishu Mishum Di'ein Shalo. What good is it if you don't own the Chala after you amafrish it? When according to the Ramban, you're in violation of Chometz Shel Hefker. V'afti ein zeh k'rishus akum v'gavoa, d'shayni hosam, d'lo shayach lomar du rotza b'kiyumo. Sharei eino rashoi lizkos bo.
He wants to curry favor with a coin.
He wants to give it to his favorite coin. But since at this point, let's just see how he wants to say this. Is this part of his kasher? Is this answer? Just 1 second. Aval behefker, what's for kumi could be zochin of bialim. Therefore, it's not excluded from lecha. But now, what about the case of truma? Here he says that ainu rashoy lizkos bo. Just one second. Ein Rashoi Lizko Spo. So Yechiel's asking very well. I mean, okay, Ein Rashoi Lizko Spo, because it belongs already to Sheva Kahuna. I mean, there's no way out of it. But nevertheless, he's wrote to the Kiyumo because.
His son was a Kohen.
Not only that, he has Tovas Adon's moment. One second. Does the Rav ask this question? Let's see, what was in the last paragraph? Okay, I have to go over this last paragraph here. I don't remember what he says over here. But what's Rotze B'Kiyumo? He's saying that Rotze B'Kiyumo doesn't mean that I want the chametz to exist, but rather I want it to be mine.
Right.
That's a subtle difference.
At some point.
Right. At some point it could become mine. So in the case of Hefker, at some point it could become mine. That's a real serious Rotze B'Kiyumo, and I violate Bal Yerol according to the Rambam. But in the case of Chometz Shel Sheva Kahuna, since I can never be Zochin and it belongs to the Kayanim, nor of us, I want it to exist, I can give it to the Kayan, but that's not the real profound Rotze B'Kiyumo. Again, I wouldn't blame the Rav for this. I mean, you just have to understand according to Rambam. How does Rabbi Yeshua work out? Because Rabbi Yeshua says, once I'm mafresh the chametz, it's fine. Because it belongs to the Kohanim, and therefore it's not lecha. Masha'en kein hefker. So the only way of explaining hefker, we said in the Ramban, is because it's Rotze B'Kiyumo. And the Ramban pretty much spells that out. So why isn't there Rotze B'Kiyumo here in the case of Chala? So you're going to have to say that Rotze B'Kiyumo means Rotze B'Kiyumo lizkospo. And in Hefker you can do that, but not in the case of Chavchal. Yeah, sorry, I mean it needs more, a little bit more work. Okay, Rav Moshe, we'll stop here. And B'li Neder, I want to see this last paragraph of Hina if I remember to see it. And if you don't mind, tomorrow please press me because I have something very anxious I want to share with you in the Seder Aruch. You know, so it's Novi Yakovish Es Nevuasa. Very good. Very good. We accomplished a lot.